You can see it in the bulletin there. Do you love self more than Christ? I think that's a great question. That's a great question. Do you love self more than Christ? In order to have the spiritual body that we want to have, or that we're seeking to have, we're going to have to love Christ more than we do ourselves. We must love Christ more than we do self. Our scripture is taken from 1 John. Thank you, Brother Deacon Reggie. You've done a good job back there so far. Scripture, 1 John chapter 2 and verses 15 through 17. Can you hear me in the back? Okay. All right. Very good. Do you love self more than Christ? There are many individuals, including Christians in the Lord's church, who profess with their mouth that they love Christ. But, when you hear that word, but, we're getting ready to transition to something that's coming on, that following, that's going to be very important. But, their conduct does not agree with their tongue. They say, I love the Lord, but their conduct does not agree with their tongue. Don't you know that Christ knows who loves him? In John chapter 14, let me turn it here. Don't you know that Christ knows who loves him? Look at John chapter 14 and verse 21 there. How does he know? Those that obey him, the ones that has his commands and obey him. Now, I think that's real fair. Don't you think so? If you say you love me and you don't do any nice things for me, you don't give me any money. You don't give me any presents. You don't treat me nice. I'm going to start thinking now, you know. I want to see not only just the words or hear just the words, but I want to see the action. And that's what Jesus is saying in John chapter 14 and verse 21. The words are nice, but he says they must be backed up by obedience. In our scripture text, we are commanded to love God more than anything in this world. This includes self. Now, what are we referring to when we hear the word world? World refers to, or it does not refer to, rather, this planet, Earth, on which we live, or the natural creation about us. That's not the world we're talking about. But human society, organized on wrong principles, selfish desires, false values, and egoism. This is the world that we're talking about. Human society. In essence, what I'm saying, or here's the real deal of what I'm saying, or the basics of what I'm saying. The world means any area of human society where God's word is not loved and obeyed. Any area of society where God's word is not loved and obeyed. That's the world. In my lesson, I will discuss three wealthy individuals. But, here come another but. I want you to understand. Listen to this real good. I'm going to be discussing three wealthy individuals, but I want you to understand that being wealthy does not automatically make a person unrighteous. You agree with that? being wealthy does not automatically make a person unrighteous. And, another transitional word here, and being poor does not automatically make a person righteous. Okay? Now here's what it is. Here's what it is that makes us right or wrong. It is what is in the heart or the mind of an individual. Do I have some scripture to back that up? Yeah, I think I do. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. What does he say? How a person thinks in his heart, so is he. That's scripture. That's the word of God. It is whether or not a person will obey self. Let me back up. It is whether or not a person will deny self and obey Christ. Now listen to this for me, please. Listen to that. You and I can profess to be members of the Lord's church. But, another but coming out, if we do not love and obey God's word, you know what? We are a part of the world. Remember what I said the world was? Human society, or any area of human society. Even though we can be in the church, but if I don't love God's word and I don't obey God's word, I'm still in the world. I'm still in the world. 1 John chapter 2 and verses 15 through 17 states, do not love anything in this world more than you do or more than you love God. If anyone loves the world, the love for the Father or the love for Christ is not in him. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, our sinful thoughts, the lust of the eyes, what we see that causes us to sin, causes us to lust after, and the boasting of what one has and does. We're talking about self-elevation and self-glory comes not from the Father or Christ, but from the world. The world and its lust pass away, but the one who obeys God or Christ will live with him forever. Where you want to live forever? In this world or with Christ? Again, I ask the question, do you love self more than Christ? Now, let us consider the three wealthy individuals. Let's look at these three wealthy individuals, okay? The first one we want to consider is the rich young man. Let's look at this rich young man. Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22. This is an account of a rich young man's encounter with Jesus. This rich young man has an encounter with Jesus. They cross paths. It appears from the politeness of how he addressed Jesus and the question he asked, he was sincere. Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? That is one of the most important questions a person can ask. What must I do that I may have eternal life? Now look how Jesus responded to him. Jesus first asked, why do you call me good? What a beautiful act of humility. Now, would you or would I have responded that way? Or would we have just sort of, yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate that. But Jesus says, why do you call me good? And Jesus told him, the only one that is good is God. And he's referring to the Father. But, now that but again, since you asked, what good thing you need to do to have eternal life, here's my answer. Keep the law. The rich young man asked, which ones? Jesus told him, do no murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not lie on others. Honor your father and mother. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. Those are some beautiful commands to obey, aren't they? Obeying these commands, just think how beautiful the world would be if everyone followed these commands. They murdered no one. They didn't commit adultery. They didn't steal from anyone. They didn't lie on anyone. They were respectful to their father and mother, obedient to their father and mother. And they loved their neighbor as they did themselves. This would be a beautiful world. Beautiful world. But just like so many today, when this rich young man heard this, when he heard this, he was blind to his own selfishness. Listen to what he said. He stuck his chest out. The rich young man boasted. Oh, he was feeling okay right at this point. I have obeyed these commandments from my youth. I don't have no problem with these commandments. What do I still lack? Jesus now is going to expose this rich young man's selfishness. Jesus told him, go, sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Now he went from being head up, chest out, standing like he was a military person, to being a person that did this, shoulders drooped, head bowed. When the rich young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Is your treasure in heaven? That's the question we asked it. Is your treasure in heaven? Matthew chapter 6 and verses 19 and 20 says that Jesus says, lay up your treasure in heaven and not upon the earth. Where was this rich young man's treasure? It was up on the earth. Jesus says, where your treasure is, in verse 20, there your heart will be also. This rich young man's heart was on his treasure up on the earth. Do you love self more than Christ? The second wealthy person that we want to look at, the rich fool. And we're going to find out why he was called a fool. This wealthy farmer had been blessed with an exceptionally good crop. He was faced with what he thought was a major problem. He did not know what to do with his huge crops. All his barns were filled to capacity. Then he did some brainstorming. Let me think, what am I going to do? Can you tell I'm thinking? What am I going to do? My barns are filled to capacity. I have all this grain. I can't let it go to waste. I got to do something. And can you imagine him going, I got it. I got it. I know what I will do. He came up with what he thought. Listen to this now. He came up with what he thought was a great idea. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. What a great idea. Don't you think? Well, that's not a great idea. Huh? Well, let's see. Now think about this. He could have saved himself the time, expense, and stress of this tremendous construction project. He could have saved himself time, expense, and stress. if he had just thought about the poor of the world and used these possessions to help them. But instead, listen to his thought process. Listen to what his thought process was like. After I construct my larger barns, I will store all my grains and my goods. He had a major problem, didn't he? He had a major problem, but it was not his smaller barns, but a very selfish disposition that would cost him his soul. It's going to cost him his soul. At this point, think about this now. At this point in his life, his focus was on his material possessions only. All his stuff. I got all this stuff, and I'm going to take care of me. As soon as his new barns were built and his crops stored up in them, you know what he did? He introduced his retirement plans. Another great idea, right? Man, I done put in a lot of work. I done put in a lot of time, a lot of work, a lot of expense. And now I got everything, put away, got all my grains put away and everything. So now I can retire. Oh, man, this is wonderful. It don't get no better than this. Now, listen to his retirement statement. I would say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be happy. Isn't that the way a lot of people are today? They're eating and they're drinking and they're being happy. And I don't mean they're drinking water. They're drinking stuff that's stronger than water. And it makes them a little tipsy-tozy or whatever that word is. But they're happy. And sometimes you hear them whistling, you know what I mean? Oh, I'm happy. Now listen, he thought that he was in control of time and his life. He thought he was in control. But he found out to his destruction, he was not. God said to him, now, brothers and sisters and friends, this is the one that has control of your life and my life. See, we can make all kinds of plans we want to. But when the Lord decides, and like he did with this rich fool, God said to him, you fool. That's why he's called the rich fool. God called him a fool. This very night, not tomorrow night, not the next day, this very night, you will die, and the ownership of your great possessions will be enjoyed by someone else. I'm going to drop a little something off here. And I saw something happen that was similar to this. Similar to this. In my neighborhood, there was a gentleman that retired from the military, and he spent what appeared to be about 3 years building a beautiful home there in the neighborhood. Night and day, he's building his home. And after he got it completed, he only lived in it for a couple of months. And he was gone. We don't know, do we? He spent all that time, it appeared to be about 3 years, building this beautiful home. And you know who's enjoying it? His son, who didn't have nothing to do with it at all. His son now is living in this beautiful home. God called him a fool that tonight you're going to die. And then the Lord says, this is how it will be with anyone who stores up material possessions for himself but is not rich toward God. Do you love self? Look at the word of God. Do you love self more than Christ? Is there something that has taken the place of Christ in your life? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 says that God or Christ should hold first place in our life. God or Christ should hold first place. Finally, the final rich person that we want to look at, the rich man and Lazarus. This is another very interesting story of the Bible. Luke chapter 16 and verses 19 through 26. This rich man lived in luxury, comfort, and ease every day of his life. He already had it made. He was already in retirement, and he was enjoying himself. In striking contrast, a poor beggar named Lazarus was dropped off every day in front of his house. This poor beggar was dropped off every day in front of his house. Now picture this. Lazarus was full of sores all over his body, hungry, and begging for just the crumbs of bread that fell from his table. He didn't ask for a loaf of bread. He just was begging for just a crumb. Just give me the crumbs that fall on the floor. In addition to this wretched state, or this terrible state that Lazarus was in, nasty or dirty, unclean dogs came and licked his sores. Can you imagine this scene, brothers and sisters? How could anyone be so selfish, so wicked? The rich man demonstrated by his actions that he had no love for God nor his fellow man. Now, he thought he had it made too. But you know what? Something happened. And let's see what it was. They both died. Lazarus and the rich man, they both died, both of them. In death, their roles were reversed. Doesn't the Bible say something about the last shall be first and the first shall be last? I think it says something about that. When Lazarus, the beggar, died, he was taken by angels to a blissful or a joyful place where Abraham was. The rich man also died. His body was buried. Instead of experiencing joy as Lazarus, he experienced pain and suffering. Things are reversed now. He's suffering. He's tormented. He sees Lazarus. Can you just imagine? Now he sees Lazarus in the presence of Abraham, enjoying comfort. You know, he recognized Lazarus. He recognized him. What did he do? He cried out. Can you imagine the cry of this man? He cried out, "Father! Father Abraham." Now he's begging. Remember, Lazarus was begging in this life, but now he's begging. "Father Abraham, come. Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I am suffering in this flame." Now, this rich man who showed no mercy in life now wants mercy extended to him. If he had loved God more than self while he lived, he would not have ended up in this terrible place. Now, listen to Abraham's replies to him. And can you imagine what sobering words these were? Try to picture yourself listening to these words that Abraham is going to say to him. "Son, This is Abraham's reply. Son, remember. Boy, that's a terrible word there. Remember. Oh, he remembered. At this point, he remembered. That's why he cried out. Remember, in your lifetime, you lived a life of luxury, ease, and indulgence. If I may say, you just ate like a pig. Okay? But Lazarus lived a life of poverty and suffering. But now, hit that butt again, but now he is enjoying comfort and you are tormented. And then here's the hurtful part, I think, of all. This is the hurtful part, I think, of all. In addition to this, there is no passage from the place of the saved to that of the damned or vice versa. If Lazarus wanted to come to you, he can't come. The Lord has it fixed. I know you want to come where he is, but you can't come. The Lord has it fixed. Once we die, our eternal destination, our eternal destiny, I know that's destiny, is fixed. You hear that? Read Luke 16:26. Lazarus can't come to you. You can't come to him. All three of these men had one particular sin in common. Selfishness. They each love self more than Christ. Whether you are rich or poor, selfishness is a sin. Whether you're rich or poor, selfishness is a sin. Do you love self more than Christ? What type of relationship or lack of relationship do you have with Christ? If you don't have a relationship with him, or if that relationship is strained, you ought to do something about it. We gave you some good examples to ponder, because one day, and we don't know when, it could be right now, it could be today, it could be tonight, it could be tomorrow, we don't know. But the Lord knows, and he's going to say to us, like he said to this rich man, you're going to die. Your time have come. So do what you need to do while you have the opportunity to do it. The Lord extends his invitation to everyone daily. Why don't you accept it? If you have not accepted his invitation, why don't you do it today by being baptized into the body of Christ, the church of Christ? His plan of salvation. This is the same plan that Brother Branch shows every time he preaches. Or this is the same plan that he preaches about every time he preaches or anyone else that stands in the pulpit. Plan of salvation is the same. As members of the church, does Christ have first place in your life? Whatever your need is, whether it's baptism, confession of sin, or prayer, we're going to give you the opportunity to respond. And if you need to, don't let this opportunity pass. May God bless you, and may he bless you real good. Let us stand, please. Free tears for you and me. Let us pay so. Praise to the praise is a fire.